Matthew chapter 8. When he had come down from the mountain, so Jesus was finished with his Sermon on the Mount, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them." Now remember, Christ hadn't died yet, so the law of Moses was still in effect. So he basically told this man to go do what he was supposed to do according to Leviticus 14. Go obey the law of Moses as it pertains to leprosy and being cleansed. And when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, a centurion came to him, beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, grievously tormented." So this centurion, keep in mind, this would have been a Gentile. You could put every person on the planet back then into one of two categories. They were either a Jew or a Gentile. So this man would have been a Gentile. And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." So he's telling Jesus, "Look, I understand that you have all authority. I'm also a man that has some authority. But you have way more authority than I do, and I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. But I believe in you, and I know that all you have to do is just speak the words, and my servant will be healed." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel." So he just was really impressed with this Gentile's faith in him. And he's also rebuking the Jews because he was saying, "I haven't found this much faith among you Jews." And the Jews would have had no excuse not to believe in Jesus. They would have been very familiar with the Old Testament, very familiar with all of the prophecies of the Messiah coming, and have been able to see that Jesus was, in fact, the fulfillment of these prophecies. I mean, he was performing supernatural acts. "And I say to you that many shall come from the east and west," so he's talking about Gentiles, "and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, or Jews, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So he's really getting on to the Jews. "And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed in the very same hour. And when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying and sick from a fever." So this would be Peter's mother-in-law. And for the Catholics who say Peter was the first pope, which is absolutely not true. There is absolutely no authority for the pope whatsoever. But Peter obviously was married, because this is his mother-in-law that was sick. So Jesus went and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered to them. Another thing that amazes me about this is when Jesus heals someone, it is immediate, and it is complete and full recovery. You know, she didn't say, "Well, I'm feeling better, but can you give me a little time? I need to recover. I'm still real weak from being sick." No, she was able to immediately get up and serve them. She was completely recovered. "When the evening had come, they brought to him many who were possessed with demons. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all who were sick, that what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled." And this is from Isaiah 53 verse 4, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Now when Jesus saw great multitudes around him, he gave a commandment to depart to the other side. You know where it says they brought to him many who were possessed with demons? I don't know this for sure. This is just my opinion. But I think those that were demon-possessed, I think what that means is that for this period of time here in the first century, for a short period of time, God allowed evil spirits to leave Hades and possess men's bodies. So basically, the evil souls of dead men. That's what I think demon possession is. Okay, that's just my opinion though. And a certain scribe came and said to him, "Master, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, first allow me to go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." So this is Jesus warning people, hey, there is a cost to following me. And when people want to become a Christian, they need to really think about that. They really need to think about the cost of following him. And when he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest or a storm in the sea to such an extent that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. I always thought that was kind of funny. How could he possibly be asleep? And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" They still didn't fully understand that Jesus is the Son of God. He is deity. Even the weather will do what he tells it to do. And when he had come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, two men possessed with demons met him there, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by the way. I'm sure that was scary to see these violent men who had what I think were evil dead men's spirits in them, being violent, screaming, and I think another gospel account says that at least one of them would cut himself and wasn't wearing any clothes. And I mean, that would be scary. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now that "before the time," "have you come here to torment us before the time?" I think that's interesting. First of all, these evil spirits immediately knew who Jesus was. They knew who Jesus was, and they knew he was the Son of God. But they wanted to know, why are you here right now? Why are you here before the time? Now, I think this "before the time" references the time when miracles ceased, according to Zechariah 13:2. If we just go look at that real quick. Zechariah 13:2. Zechariah, let's see if I can find it today. That's Zechariah 13:2, and it shall come to pass on that day. Now he's talking about when the church is coming. And it shall come to pass on that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. So he's talking about there's going to be a period of time when I'm going to allow miracles. It's going to be about 40 years from about AD 30 to 70. But I think that's what he's talking about when he says, when the evil spirit says, "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" And there was a herd of many swine or pigs feeding a good way off from them. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine." Why did they beg that? Because they did not want to go back to torments. They had been allowed by God to leave torments and to possess someone's body for a short period of time. And I'm sure that was a great vacation for them. You know, they did not want to go back to torments. And they begged Jesus, who they knew was the Son of God, if you're going to cast us out, at least let us go into these pigs. That would be better than going back to torments. You do not want to go to torments. I don't want to go to torments. Another reason why it's so important to obey God. I don't want to go to torments. And he said to them, go. And when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. So the evil spirits left those men's bodies and went into the pigs' bodies. Well, pigs are animals. Pigs are just creatures. They do not have souls. So can you imagine how these pigs are going to react when all of a sudden they have dead men's evil spirits in them? What do you think they're going to do? Well, here's what they do. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. It drove them insane. And those who kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what had happened to those possessed by the demons. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him that he would depart out of their territory. Now, isn't that sad? I think that last sentence is so sad. These people had the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and learn things. Most importantly, what do I need to do to get to heaven? And what did they do instead? They told him to go away. I don't understand it. I guess they were scared. Of course, someone brought up one time that these people had no business even having pigs, because these were probably Jews, and Jews raising pigs would have been against the law of Moses. So they were already not living according to God's word. And apparently they were not interested. I just find that sad that they actually told Jesus to go away. And that is Matthew chapter 8.